Proverbs chapter 16, we'll be looking at one verse here as a springboard into our subject tonight. Last two evenings, over at the parsonage, I had a treat in the evening, a snack that I often have at home. And I don't know if I mentioned this here before. If I did, please forgive me. But either way, I got Mom Townsend's blender out. I went to the refrigerator, got the milk. I went to the cupboard and I got honey. I got some peanut butter. And I went and I grabbed a banana and got some ice out of the freezer. And I put it all in the blender and I blended it up and made what I call a peanut butter smoothie. Each one of those ingredients is important. I often make one of those at home, and it's a good evening snack, and hopefully not too bad for you. Probably there's some people here that would disagree with me, right, Dad? He's been trying to talk me out of peanut butter some. But I love peanut butter anyway, so I have had this peanut butter smoothie last night, and every single one of those ingredients is important. You can't be missing the peanut butter. The bananas add a special texture to that smoothie. If you don't have bananas, then you have to try a substitute, and it's just not quite as good. You have to have each ingredient for it to really work. Tonight, I'd like to speak on the subject of the recipe for victory. And each ingredient is very important. The recipe for victory. Now, as we look at the Word of God, we see that salvation is essential if we're going to be gaining victory over sin in our lives. It's through the power of Jesus Christ, His victory over sin and death, that we can have victory ourselves. Through Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so that's where the power of our victory comes from. It's not in our own strength. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so it's through the power of Christ. But salvation is the first part of that. I mean, you have to know the Lord personally. You have to have your sins forgiven. That relationship has to be established if you're ever going to begin to gain victory over sins in your life. And so do you know tonight for sure that you are saved? Do you know for sure that you have a relationship with Jesus? Because if you don't, then the rest of a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight is not really for you, because you need to start with that first step. And so, if you've never made the choice to trust in Jesus alone for forgiveness of your sins, you need to make that choice. You'll never gain victory over sin without first having salvation. Making the choice to trust in Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, it's a very simple concept. We often use the word believe, or to have faith, or to trust in Jesus. We use lots of different terms that mean the same thing, and gaining salvation happens through recognizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and simply making the choice to depend upon what Jesus did, not what you can do. There's a lot of people who are trying to depend upon what they can do in this life to earn God's favor, to earn God's forgiveness of their sins. But it'll never happen through good works. It's only through the work that Jesus did. And so you must make the choice to depend, to rely upon, to have faith in what Jesus did for you in taking your place. So have you made that choice? That's the most important decision you can ever make in life. And without that decision being settled in your life, victory will be impossible. But tonight, as we look at the recipe for victory, I want us to give several practical things that hopefully you can apply in your life, or have already been applying, I would hope, in your life. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. And it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That reminds me of the gospel. It's by the mercy of God and the truth of the gospel that our iniquities can be purged. But then notice it says, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Friends, if we are going to successfully prevent falling into the temptations that we encounter in life, then we must first have a proper perspective of who God is. Number one, a proper perspective. do you have the right perspective of Almighty God? The Bible talks about having a fear of the Lord. And it says here specifically in this verse that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And so there's a key connection between your perspective of God and your ability to overcome temptation, your ability to gain the victory through the strength of Christ. They go hand in hand, having that proper perspective of God. The fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." There you have it again. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Do we hate those things? If we have a fear of the Lord, we will. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Friends, God hates those things and we must too. Having a proper perspective of God will cause us to do that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I remember when I was growing up, I'm thankful for the home that I had to grow up in. I had a father and mother, still have a father and mother, who care for me spiritually. And they were very careful to discipline my brothers and I when we deserved it, when we had broken a family rule or something like that. And my father taught me to fear him. Now, it wasn't that I was scared of my dad. It wasn't that I was terrified of him. But I certainly respected his authority. He taught me what the consequences were when I went against his authority. And I experienced that on many occasions. God helped me to see how my relationship with him was to be through my relationship with my earthly father. And that's how God designed that to be. The father-son relationship is a very special thing, or a father-son, father-daughter relationship, a parent-to-child relationship, because it helps that child see who God is if those parents are following the principles of Scripture. There is a fear that happens there. And that's not a wrong term. It's a good thing. It's not that that child is terrified of mom and dad, but there is a reverential awe and respect of their authority in their life. That is how we ought to view God. We need to have a proper perspective of Him. And that proper perspective includes a fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is recognizing His rightful place in our lives. Recognizing His authority over us. Understanding that if we go against His authority, there's consequences. The Bible sure makes it clear what they are. The wages of sin is death. And so do we have a proper perspective of who God is? We must have a fear of God. How do you generate a fear of God? In this book, spending lots of time learning who God is. If we're not spending lots of time in this book, or at least the time that God intends for each one of us to be spending, then we're not going to be maintaining that fear of God like we ought. And as a result, we are going to be very susceptible to falling into the temptations. Why? Because we'd rather do what we want to do instead of do what God wants us to do. You see, that fear of God motivates you to do something about sin in your life. It motivates you to stay away from those temptations. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we were tempted to do wrong, we would remember at that moment, oh yeah, God's right here watching. That would help us because that stimulates that fear of the Lord in our minds. So number one, we see this proper perspective. It's very important in the recipe for victory. I also want to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Again, we've mentioned this verse several times already this week, I believe. And there we need to remember that there's a promise of escape when it comes to temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So remember that that verse is teaching God is always faithful to us. He's not allowing us to go through a trial, a temptation that is too much for us. And he's promised that in every single battle that we will face, there's always a way to not sin. There's always a promise of escape. And so we need to have that as a proper perspective when the temptations come. We need to be saying, Lord, where's the way of escape? Lord, give me the words to say, because right now I feel like saying some things I shouldn't. Lord, where's the way to escape? Where's the soft answer that turns away wrath? Lord, instead of looking at that thing, what can I be looking at instead? Lord, where's the way of escape in this temptation right now? That's the kind of perspective that we need to have. That's a scriptural perspective of temptation. And so we need to have the proper perspective of God. A fear of God. We need to have a proper perspective of temptation. There's always a way to escape, and God is always faithful. And then we already mentioned Philippians chapter 4, 13. Mention it again. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said that he could gain victory over the desire to be discontent with where he was at. And he had said in that passage, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And he was in prison. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It was through the strength of Christ that Paul was able to be content in prison. And so we have a promise of strength to gain whatever victory needs to be gained at that moment. If we depend upon the strength of Christ. So a proper perspective. Friends, we need to understand there is no battle that you and I are facing that is too big for God. When we look at all these truths that we have in the Word of God that help us to develop this correct understanding of the battles we face, we don't have any excuse. Because God has given us all that we need. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has the answers right here for us. Now, we need to get them up here. And we need to have them ready to go so that when that temptation comes, this is the understanding we have of the battle we're facing. So number one, we see this proper perspective. These things we mentioned, they're like the foundational ingredients in your recipe. They add the texture. They add the meat to the dish that you're creating. You can't move on without having this proper perspective. Don't forget these truths that God has given us about the battles that we face in life. And so a fear of God, it's a key element for practical victory over sin. Fearing God motivates us to do something about sin. But number two, I want to spend the rest of our time now considering a practical plan. We have a proper perspective of what temptation is and the battles that we're up against and the tools that God has given us to encounter them. But how can we take those tools and now practically use them? A practical plan. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I try to make this message as simple as we can tonight with truths that we've probably heard before so that this week we can put some of these things back into action if we've been struggling, if we've been laxing off. Some of these foundational truths to walking with the Lord on a daily basis, gaining victory over sin. I want to make it very practical tonight and bring them to our remembrance. Here in Matthew chapter 4, we have the temptation of Jesus. Jesus set an example for us to follow, and the example is that he fought the battle with the Bible. He fought the battle with the Bible. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." The devil, here quoting scripture, but using it incorrectly, Jesus fought right back with the Bible. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And so what did the devil do, or what did Jesus do repeatedly when the devil tempted him? Those three words, it is written, it is written, it is written. Brother Dan, are they magical words? Should we say them when we're tempted? No, that's not the point. The point is scripture. I'm not advocating that it is written is magical and we ought to say that. That's not the answer. The idea here is, and the example that Christ set for us to follow, is that we fight the battle with the Bible. Fight the battle with the Bible. Fight the battle with the Bible. That means when you're driving down the road and you see a wicked billboard up ahead, you need to fight the battle with the Bible. You need to have some scripture going through your mind at that moment, or you will probably fail. Fight the battle with the Bible. You, when you go to work and you know that that one person is going to be there that you've struggled understanding and you've struggled getting along with and you've been tempted to be irritated with, you need to have a verse ready before you get on the premises so that you are fighting the next battle with Bible, just like Jesus did. Friends, this is very elementary, but I'm afraid we fail to do it so often. This is stuff we learned in Sunday school, but we go into battle without the Bible. It may be that before the night is over, you need to get out a 3x5 card, you need to go through some scripture, maybe go through a topical index, and you need to write down several verses on that card so that tomorrow you're ready. That may be what it takes for you. But can I challenge you tonight? Use the tools that God has given you to fight the battles. Make it very practical. And fight the battle with the Bible, just like Jesus did. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." That word heed has the idea of guarding something. And so you guard yourself with, the young man guards himself with the word of God. Psalm 37, verse 31, "The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." You see, it's so important that the battle is fought with the Bible, that the Bible is there, the law of God is there in our hearts, so that our steps don't slide. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Ethan, why is it that we have you memorize scripture in Sunday school? The answer is so that we're ready to fight the battle with the Bible. Isn't that right, Henry? We have scripture memorizing regularly so that we are ready to go with those verses. But if we don't use them in the time of battle, we're not following the example of Christ. And so I challenge you to actually do this. Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, we see another ingredient. We see another very practical thing that God intends for you and I to be doing. Another example for you and I to follow when we are in those moments of battle. Not only must we be armed with the Word of God, but we must see Joseph's example that he set for us and apply this same principle in our lives. You remember the story of Joseph. He was a slave sold into Egypt, into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to sin. We won't read the whole passage, but she was a wicked woman trying to tempt Joseph. Joseph, by the way, did have a proper perspective of God, because he said, "How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, that fear of God was definitely motivating him to make the right choice here. And we remember how the story went, how she tempted him. There was no one else around. She caught him, and the Bible says how he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Wow, what an example. Friends, the truth here is flee the temptation with determination. Flee the temptation with determination. Joseph sure had some determination. At that moment of temptation, he said, "I am getting out of here, and it doesn't matter what I lose in the process. I'm out of here." And he saved himself. That fear of God motivated him to do the right thing. And we can look at his example today and say, praise God for a man of faith, a man of integrity, who made the right choice there. Here's the thing we need to understand. There are times that we may be fighting the battle with the Bible. There are times that we are trying to do the right thing, but the temptation, the situation can become so hot that we as Christians need to understand, it's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me to move on. It's time for me to shut my mouth and not say anything, whatever the situation may be. It's time for me to look away and do it with determination. Don't do it like Lot's wife where she looked back. Flee the temptation with determination. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. 1 Timothy, I think I said 1 Timothy the first time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, if you're taking notes. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. There, Paul was listing various warnings for Timothy to be aware of. And then he said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." I remember a situation down in Pennsylvania, close to the camp there. Last year, for a while, there was a wrong billboard posted along the highway between the camp and Altoona. And whenever I drove to Altoona, I had to drive down the road like this. And maybe people would look at me and say, "What's that guy doing? The sun's over here." But that's what you need to do. What you need to have some determination that I'm going to flee away from that thing so I don't fall into the trap of the devil. You say, well, I'll look dumb. Don't worry about that. Come out on the other side with character. Come out on the other side with a testimony still intact. Flee the temptation with determination. So we need to fight the battle with the Bible. Flee the temptation with determination. We mentioned 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, how Paul said to Timothy, "O man of God, flee these things." And then he said, "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." That leads us right into the final thing I want to mention tonight. As you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said to Timothy, Flee those things, but follow after these things. Get away from the sin and do this instead. Stay far away from the defeat of the devil and his traps, and instead replace that with faith, godliness, righteousness, love, patience, meekness. And we see this same principle coming forth in Ephesians chapter 4. A final, very practical thing for you and I to be doing with the battles that we are facing right now. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see what is commonly known as the replacement principle. The replacement principle. Also, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so don't be conformed to the world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Psalm number 1, verses 1 through 2. Same principle there. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." And so the replacement principle. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. It says there that ye put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So we see it many, many times through this passage. Don't do this. Put that off. Stop it. Get it away from you. And then we need to understand that when you get that sin out, you need to fill it back up with something. You see, it will leave a void in your life. We naturally want to fill our lives up with things that bring us satisfaction. Sadly, our natural bent is to satisfy ourselves with things of the world, with sin. And so the Bible teaches us that we need to get that sin out. We still have that longing. We still have that desire to be satisfied by something. And God has made it that only He can truly satisfy us. And so we need to satisfy ourselves with the things that God intends for us to satisfy ourselves with that which is good and pleasing to Him, that which is holy, that which is truly valuable for eternity. And so the principle here is fill the hole with the valuable. Fill the hole with the valuable. The replacement principle is so critically important. When you make a decision to follow God, you make a decision to get some sin out of your life, be sure to replace it with something that is truly valuable for eternity. Don't just put something in its place that is worthless. "Well, Brother Dan, it's not sin." Okay, maybe it's not. But God intends for us to be laying up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And so, do something that's truly valuable for eternity. Fill the hole with the valuable. I want to challenge you with these simple thoughts tonight. They hopefully are reminders for everyone in here. Maybe something new for someone, but I would pray that these are things that we have been working on already to use when the temptations come. When we take God's tools here, His principles, and actually use them in our lives, it makes a wonderful recipe. it makes a dish that is so fulfilling when you get around to eating it. It is just a wonderful thing that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so don't believe the lie of the devil when he tries to get you to think that there's just no way out. There's just no way I'll ever gain victory over this particular area of my life. You can gain victory. Paul gained victory over discontentment through the strength of Christ. And so praise God, he's given us everything we need as well. And it's very practical. So useful. Something you can start doing tonight in one way or another with the temptation that you readily face. And so I challenge you to take God's tools and use them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray for the young guys here tonight. Some of these youngsters here in this room who are listening so well to your truths tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see that you have provided all that they need to live a life that is well-pleasing and glorifying to you. Lord, help them to take the practical things in your word and to use them, to actually do something with them. Even before the night is over, that you would help some of these young men in our midst to make a plan, to write some verses down, to look at the battles they face, and to depend upon your strength through it. Lord, I pray for the older folks here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bring the battles to mind during the invitation time, and that there would be decisions made to use the tools that are available. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts in such a way that the specific tools would be recognized and choices would be made on how to use that tool before the week is out. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be very practical tonight in our application, and that you would receive the glory by lives who are living victoriously. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.